Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
SEC Sunday Night Live on the Chief Sports Network. We are brought to you proudly by Hewitt Domodiros Law. When you need defense, call hdlawsc.com. Make sure you go online, check it out with Dean and Brad. You want to get it hooked up with these guys, not only because you may need their help, but really just because they're good guys and you want to have a relationship with them. You want to have them in your back pocket. So if you need something, if you slip and fall, if you get hurt, anything that's not your fault, basically, call them. They'll get you taken care of that. Millions and millions and millions of dollars that they've won for their clients. And you could be the next one. HDLawSC.com. We are presented by Hewitt Domodiros Law. Craig, what a week was week 8. And we are happy to be here on SEC Sunday night. You had a phenomenal week. And I love,
pretty,
the background.
Pretty good. Oh, yeah. We just came back from the fair. The carousel was popping. From what I hear, it will still be popping. So grab your gator. We're ready to ride.
Looks like there's a coach or two riding on that carousel behind you. Before we get into anything, though, before we get into what actually happened, as always, we have our friend Daily Joy, who has a big announcement about SEC Pretty. If you missed it earlier in the week, we have it right here on this segment as she and I got together on Friday, talked about our thoughts in the SEC overall and a couple of little tweaks going into the weekend. Let's find out who was wrong. Remember, if you're in the comments with us and you're here every week, make sure if somebody's confused that we let them know that this segment is a throwback to Friday so that we can come back and say, I was wrong. It's time for the SEC Pretty Campus Tour. Let's go talk to Joy. Welcome back to SEC Sunday Night Live on the Chief Sports Network. We are here, as always, with Daily Joy preparing for the SEC Pretty Campus Tour. And Joy, stepping out of the SEC this week, are we? But
we are.
But a chance to look at a team that may pull an SEC coach as their next head coach. Tell us where you're going.
I'm headed to Iowa for Iowa Penn State. Just figured I'd get a firsthand look at whatever SEC coach is going to take over that Penn State program.
Hey, how about this? How about you made this schedule and planned things out, obviously, before the season? And this has been well documented, right?
Yes.
And now you get right off of the firing of James Franklin, you're going to get to see this Penn State team that inevitably Eli Drinkwitz or somebody is going to coach next year. And so we're excited about the opportunity that you have to kind of get a feel for that, because at this, we're getting to the point where national stories are going to bleed into the SEC completely. We're in the second half of the season, and that's how that operates. But before we get into anything football, Joy, you had a big announcement this week, and so let's talk a little bit about SEC Pretty and give you just a moment to talk about your brand and where you're headed.
Yeah, so basically the gist of it is that I am now full-time with SEC Pretty. I was given an offer that I legitimately could not refuse. There will be, I've like hit the floor running. My first full-time day was yesterday, and I've already sent in new merchandise orders, new merchandise requests. We're brainstorming. We have a lot of big things coming up. We really wanted to put our foot on the gas before football season was over. So a lot is going on behind the scenes, but I'm excited to share it all with y'all really soon.
Well, we will publicly say here on the air that we are, of course, very proud of you and excited and happy for all that you're doing. We knew that it was going to be great, and we knew that it was going to take off. And whether you saw the enormity of what this was going to be from the beginning or not. I think that, you know, here at SEC Sunday Night and on the Chief Sports Network, we were able to see that this was an incredible branding idea, and that you're brilliant at that, and you're doing a great job. And so we're really excited for where it's going to go and happy to have you with us for this season. As we look at the SEC as a whole, right? We're in the thick of it. That's for sure. And yeah. I was just on live on the preview show on talking about Gamecocks and Sooners, but really looking at the league as a whole. And it's just like, when we look across the SEC, you've got some really, really good defenses. Let me ask you this question, because it was just posed to me. Are there any elite offenses?
I don't think so. I think you probably could have argued Oklahoma was looking elite pre-Mateer injury. I don't think now with his injury that we'll see that offense return to what it was doing early in the season. And even that could come into question, because how elite really were the teams that they were playing? The thing that we always go back to in 2019 about how good that offense was they were playing like ranked team week after week after week after week and just absolutely destroying them, which was what was so impressive about that offense and what made it elite. I don't know that you're going to see that this season with any of the quarterbacks and any of the offenses that the SEC are putting on display right now.
Is Alabama the best offense in the SEC?
Midway. Golly, the fact that that's even a conversation to be had. I don't know. I need to see what happens this weekend. I want to see Trinidad Shambliss go into a Georgia home game and do what he is doing across the board. Obviously, last week, people are really shocked about their performance last week versus Washington State. I am not. That was Ole Miss to a T. Like, get really up for an SEC opponent that you play every year really tough, and then get a letdown game because it's homecoming and you think you're going to walk all over Washington State. And they're there to upset you because that's what they want to do. That was so Ole Miss and so Lane Kiffin-coded that it wasn't even funny. But I want to see what Trinidad Shambliss does this week. I think he's really clicking with that offense. I think Lane Kiffin's the perfect guy to coach him in that offense. Yeah. But I want to see what they do. Obviously, LSU's defense is phenomenal, and Trinidad was obviously able to make that win happen. And so I'm excited to see what they do against Georgia this weekend.
Okay, so obviously we have some trouble happening in a couple of SEC programs in terms of the head coaching position. It's before the weekend, and so maybe we'll know some more stuff on Sunday night when this segment actually airs. But right now, as it stands, who gets fired first, Hugh Freeze or Billy Napier?
Ooh, Napier. Napier. I just think Florida is at such a standstill. What happened last year was that Napier was going to get fired. We all went into the year knowing he was going to get fired, and then he started winning. And then they were like, oh crap, okay, maybe it was the quarterback situation. Let's give him another year with Lagway. And then now he's coming in, and then that Texas win almost makes you feel like the same thing's going to happen there. Whereas, like, Auburn's been putting up with the fact that Hugh Freeze is losing. They have zero issue waiting until the end of the season to fire him. I think if Napier loses again, homeboy's out of there. I don't think that they can risk him coming back and winning the last few games and then reinstilling trust in him. I think Scott Strickland put his neck out last year, issuing the statement midseason that they were sticking with Napier, and that has come back to bite him in the behind. I don't think he's going to put up with that for much, much longer. I think we could see Napier gone as soon as Sunday, if I'm being really honest.
Yeah, I do too. And I just said this again on another show, that we kind of have our Florida guys on the horn ready to go just in case that happens for Sunday night. Because I think Jeff Levy may get a win this weekend, and that there may be cowbells ringing, and that will be really bad news for Billy Napier and the Gators. I also think that Missouri gets the win against Auburn, and we're going to continue to see some things spiral on the plains. Now, it is at Auburn, and so Jordan Hare is kind of crazy, and you just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's weird.
It can get really, really weird, and so I'm just not really sure. Here's the thing that I'll bring up to you, because I know that I got to go, you got to go. We got a lot happening this weekend. But Craig had a message for me to pass along to you, because we have these coaches with Napier and with Hugh Freeze on the hot seat. I'll also add that, you know, I think Mark Stoops is in hot water as well. It's a huge buyout.
He should be.
It's a huge buyout, and there's two different camps here. One that says that maybe he's not – maybe they're not going to raise the funds, but I think that this is the year they have to go get John Summerall. And it may be a situation where they have to fire, if they want him, they have to fire Mark Stoops to go ahead and get Summerall, or he's going to end up in another Power Four job, right, potentially in the SEC. But with all this coaching movement, we've obviously talked to Maggie about the possibility of Eli Drinkwitz moving somewhere else, and I've made the jokes that I'm going to miss him here saying MIZ in every interview, and what if he ends up in Happy Valley, and what's going to happen? But what if there's a coach, another coaching move that could happen? And Craig proposed that while he is picking Vanderbilt to beat your LSU Tigers this weekend,
okay,
there could be a situation where unrest rises against BK.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
And the reason Landry Kiffin is dating Whit Weeks is just doing a little scouting, because Lane Kiffin ends up in Baton Rouge next year as the head coach. Is there any – what are your feelings about LSU and Vanderbilt this weekend, which is still an unprecedented thing for me because the line shifted a little bit and it's back to 2.5. So you're going in as an underdog to Nashville. What happens with the Tigers this weekend?
If I'm being really honest with you, Rob, it feels very like last week-esque, where everyone was like, South Carolina's going to go into Death Valley and beat LSU. There was a level of comfort there for me because it was at home. I think the other level of comfort that I have is I don't care how good Vanderbilt is. I think they're good. This is not me dissing on Vanderbilt's program. I'm impressed with them. What Diego Pavia and Clark Lee have done is unprecedented. So I give them all of the props. This is not me chirping them. The reality is that no matter how good they are, their home field environment is not capable of comparing to other major SEC schools. And that's for a couple of reasons. One, their stadium. Number two, their fan base. Number three, their lack of alumni. The reality is the Vanderbilt fan base was able to fit walking down Broadway when they tore the field goals down last year against Alabama. Like, that was their entire fan base. So I don't really anticipate like this insane away game environment. Even last year, like, they beat Alabama and then they get Tennessee at home and everyone's like, oh my goodness, they're on up, like, Tennessee's on upset alert. And I'm like, guys, like, Tennessee is used to going to playing at Alabama and Auburn and at, like, these massive arenas with fan bases that fit 100,000 people. Vanderbilt doesn't have that. So the fact that Vanderbilt's really good, is that's a scary feeling. But the reality of it is that I think LSU's defense is one of the best defenses in the country. And that's not even just like a bias speaking, that's statistically speaking. If you watch college football, then you know that. And I think LSU's defense is better than Alabama's defense. And that defense was able to stop Diego Pavia. I think Diego Pavia is an incredible quarterback. I think this game will be close. But I do have some confidence in LSU's defense. And Garrett Nussmeier did, yeah, the interceptions are there. But guess what? The interceptions were there last year. Garrett Nussmeier did look more like himself last weekend, which, by the way, we did not see Michael Van Buren. I told you so. But I'm feeling okay. I'm not feeling overly confident. I'm not feeling underly depressed. I think it will be a phenomenal game, just like last week's game against South Carolina was. But obviously, it's me. I'm going to pick the Tigers.
Yep. Of course. Of course you are. All right. Really quick, 30 seconds. We got two big games, Alabama, Tennessee. I'll tell you, I'm picking Bama. I don't need a lot of time to spend on that one.
Same.
And then I'm also going to go in the other one. I'm going to go with the Rebels taking down the Dogs. Okay. In Athens. Any thoughts? Any thoughts there, Lane Kiffin, Kirby Smart?
I completely understand your reasoning for taking Ole Miss. Like I said, I think Trinidad Chambliss is good. I think Kirby Smart's a little pissed off. I think he feels like there were some mistakes that he personally made in the Alabama game, and I don't think he's going to let that happen again. And it being at Georgia, like, those fans will be loud. They'll be rowdy. They'll tailgate all day. I will lean the Bulldogs in this one and take Georgia.
All right, there you go. As she's headed up to Iowa to practice her wave, Daily Joy lets us know that she thinks Alabama and Georgia are the best two teams in the SEC for yet another week. All right, have a great time. Shout out to SEC Pretty. Shout out to you for the come up. And we'll continue to support all along the way. Have a great trip.
Thanks, Rob. Bye.
At TriFit Physical Therapy and Performance, we believe true health and peak performance start with personalized care. Whether you're an athlete recovering from injury, or just chasing your next personal best, we're here to guide your journey. With expert coaching, hands-on therapy, and transparent cash-based pricing, you get the care you need without the insurance red tape. One client drove 100 miles just to see us and said it was worth every mile. Contact us at trifitperformance.com or 803-353-5619. TriFit Physical Therapy and Performance, where recovery meets results.
When playing sports, you want a coach that will fight for you. At Hewitt Diamandouros Law Firm, we've got your back. Whether it's personal injury, insurance disputes, negligence, or wrongful death, our team delivers exceptional legal services that makes meaningful difference in the lives of the individuals and families we work for. Visit hdlawsc.com. hdlawsc.com. Hewitt Diamandouros, we're on your team. This is SEC Sunday Night on the Chief Sports Network.
SEC Sunday Night here live on the Chief Sports Network. We are here, of course, to recap a little bit, but we also want to remind you that if you missed it or if you're new, we got some new people in the chat box. I want to make sure that you guys are aware that that was our weekly segment with Daily Joy recorded on Fridays so that we can come in and let you know that we're not always right, guys. We're not perfect. We're not out here just to stand on our laurels. And the fact that I'm 73% picking games this year, Craig's going to make me put up a graphic in a minute that shows you that I missed just about every pick this week, okay? So sometimes we can be wrong.
Did you?
And yeah, and Scott Strickland can be wrong too, right, David? Our good friend David Soderquist is here with us.
Did something happen?
To discuss
why
this
is David here?
Carousel. Craig got the carousel behind him. We've got Joy setting us up for an incredible segment here. And shout out to the Gators who have given us a lot of fun here. David, first of all, welcome in. It's good to have you back. And second of all, I guess I'm sorry that it's under these circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, a lot's changed since last time I've been on, huh?
Just one or two things. Maybe a few expectations are slightly different.
Yeah, maybe a few wins and losses here or there. Many more fewer wins than there is, you know, than there's more losses. So at least we can talk about that. But yeah, man, it's been a crazy 24 hours in Gainesville. I think I've only gotten like 4 hours of sleep. You know, I went to the game. I've lived in Woodstock, Georgia, so it's about 4.5 hour drive. So I went to the game. I went to Gainesville over the weekend and, you know, watched the game. Obviously, Florida was very lucky to get out of there with a win. I don't think Mississippi State should have threw it there. They should have ran it, just set up the field goal, and they would have came out of there with a victory. That one's on the Mississippi State head coach, and that's all I have to say about that. And, you know, it was very, very weird in that crowd because, you know, around that fourth quarter, it gets to that six-minute mark. They score. We punt it back off, and you miss that third and one. They come back. They're at the 30-yard line. You could hear Fire Billy chants all through the stadium. Like, that stadium was rumbling with Fire Billy chants. And then all of a sudden, within, like, what, 10 seconds, the next play pops, and then it gets intercepted, and then everybody's cheering. So it was really crazy. And then they run to the locker room. They're cheering the team. But once Billy Napier gets to that tunnel, you can hear the chorus of boos into that stadium. It was a very, very – I wouldn't say like surreal. It was just very weird because you had cheering, you had booing, then you had cheering again, then you had booing again. It was just so back and forth in that stadium.
Well, you kind of have the clarity, I think, that comes from every football game. And this is a weird dichotomy that I think that fan bases can have where you believe in and cheer for the program and you're there for the team, mm-hmm. but you begin to kind of pick off individuals. And in this case, unfortunately, it is Billy Napier who has been fired in Gainesville. And so this is something that, David, you would say, how long has this been an anticipated move? Because I think the anticipation nationally has been growing. But for you, kind of on the boots on the ground with High Top Sports, what for you guys, what's been the duration of how long has this been expected?
There was already rumblings after the USF loss. I mean, you can't really, nullify or you can't really just justify a win or I guess a loss against a unranked team that you only scored 16 points on at home and they score 18, they win in the fashion that they won it as well. They're just, you know, just beating the your brains in on the offensive and defensive line. And, you know, those rumblings had already started and, you know, there was boosters getting together, talking about it behind the scenes. And you had the feeling that like, okay, well, if they're going to lose to USF, they're probably not going to get that much better down the stretch. And some teams, it takes a while to find, you know, to click during the middle of the year. But unfortunately, this is year four. And you're talking about this is probably your best roster that you've had here since Billy Napier has been here. Loads of five stars at wide receiver, four stars. You got returning guys on the defensive and offensive line. So a lot of fans expected big things from this program this year.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner. So you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you. And most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
And you go into the game too, you lose to USF. How much enthusiasm did the fans have after that? And then, of course, you know, you play Miami, you look lethargic on offense. Your defense plays very well, tries to keep you in that game. Your offense just can't do anything. You go into LSU, you throw five interceptions with DJ Lagway. You set him up in a really bad spot. And then you pull off a victory against Texas at home. And Billy Napier's always been good for that one victory he should never win. And that was the Texas game. And he almost lost that one. Texas almost came back and won that game as well. So, you know, right around that Miami part where they lost to Miami, it started to uptick a little bit. You kind of just saw the writing on the wall. And then, of course, you know, last week we all heard the rumblings of no matter what Billy Napier does this game, whether he wins or loses, he's fired. I was hearing the same thing behind the scenes, and I guess it leaked out on social media and X, just like everything else leaks out. And of course, you go to the Mississippi State game and then, you know, everybody's hitting me up saying, hey, is he fired yet? Is he fired? I kind of learned a little bit about it last night. But of course, nothing's ever 100%. So I always just wait till there's the official word. But you pretty much knew if you were pretty connected that Napier was getting fired today around this afternoon. And, you know, once they schedule that team meeting, you already know what's going to happen.
Why do it now, though? We have the bye week coming up. Was it the idea that we didn't want to have a 2024 2.0 where Billy catches a little bit of fire to kind of end the season? He gets a couple of those wins and like kind of push that momentum. With, you know, it kind of seemed like in a way that Scott Strickland was like, he knew he had to do it, but it just never seemed like he really wanted to do it. So like, what do you think was it that forced him? Was it booster money? Was it somebody else? What do you think was that motivating factor to just say, you know what, we're done?
Yeah, I think the culmination was a lot of our seven-figure boosters probably getting together saying something Strickland. Now, of course, we heard where there was a big meeting and they were talking about the future of Florida football. And then a report came out from Dave Waters that said it was just a meeting with one booster. But who knows what they talked about in those meetings anyway, right? It was probably the same subject. Sure. But I think a lot of it kind of was booster force. I also think Strickland just kind of saw the writing on the wall. It's like I was hearing the info about like he's got to win at least eight to keep his job this year. You're not winning eight. You still got to play Georgia. You still got to play Ole Miss, Tennessee. I mean, like that schedule is still loaded. And I think he just kind of saw the writing on the wall and he probably wanted to get ahead of the game. And look, there's been conversations behind the scenes with other coaches. And of course, you know, at least with the agents, not really with the coaches, but with the agents. And I think he just wanted to get a head start on this and just say, hey, look, we need to pull the plug. We'll let Billy G coach the team while we're figuring everything out. And of course, you know, Russ Callaway will probably call plays. Jabarja Luke's back from suspension now. And then, of course, you got the DC Ron Roberts and all that stuff. So I think it really just came down to the fact it's like, okay, let's just get this thing over with. Let's get started on the search firm and get this coaching thing rolling. And of course, you hear the big Lane Kiffin rumblings out there on social media already.
Yeah, of course. It's 8:18 and we're here with High Top Dave himself, David Soderquist from High Top Sports, talking about the firing of Billy Napier in Gainesville, Florida. And a shout out to Lucas Hill. Thanks, Lucas, for jumping in. He he lets us know. I don't know if you see the comments over there, David, but not only were the chants coming from Ben Hill Griffin to fire Billy, but we've seen these chants from you on X for quite some time. So we know that there's a satisfying nature, I think, from the Florida fan that this has taken place. And you kind of segued us beautifully, because now everybody's attention and wrath and anger, you know, Mike Morgan, who is on the Chiefs Sports Network every week, making appearances on Inside the Gamecocks as a partner there, but also hosting College Football Forever with JC and Morgan. And Mike has been calling games for forever, and he coined this pound of flesh phrasing that fan bases want their pound of flesh. The Gators have chomped off more than a pound of flesh here with Billy Napier, and now it's time to turn that wrath, David, into hope. They can turn towards the future. So now it's hot board time, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's
what are we thinking?
Man, I'll say this. The hot board, the two names that have been thrown around just in the main names is Lane Kiffin and Marcus Freeman. Those are the two names you've been hearing synonymously. The two most proven coaches on that list. I think Florida's really done with trying to hire the up-and-comer coach, like the Sun Belt with Billy and then Jim McElwain. And Dan Mullen was kind of more SEC experienced. He came in and he made a big splash, but then he also fell off a cliff mid-year. And I think that Florida is really, really just trying to look at a big splash blockbuster hire. And those two names are the first two names that pop off there. Now, of course, if those don't work out and you have to go elsewhere, you know, names like Will Stein have floated around. You got Golish. You got Brent Key now. His name's floating around from Georgia Tech. But I think really what Florida's really zeroed in on is those two names, Lane Kiffin and Marcus Freeman. And it seems to be that they've really zeroed in on Lane Kiffin right now.
Go ahead, Craig.
I have one for you both. And here's the best part. He hasn't been named yet.
Right. Exactly.
Now, if you're going to zag, go zag, bring some young energy in, bring a high potent offense, and bring Kenny Dillingham in from Arizona State to lead the Gators. I think to me, that would be fun. You've got a guy who's full of energy. He's made the college football playoff. He's punched up with Arizona State. Now, granted, it is the Big 12. And I know it's not the SEC, but he has done it. He also has, you know, like I said, he's got that electric offense. So to me, like, I've been talking a lot about Drink coming there, but I'm going for Kenny Dillingham. I think that's something attainable. And again, I think those are the sort of moves we're going to see in this carousel, because we have such high profile jobs open. It's not just going to be those OCs or those G5 guys, but we're going to have to go poaching in the other people.
What do you think about Dillingham?
Yeah, I mean, he makes a great point with Dillingham. I mean, we've seen what he's done over there at Arizona State. And I think, like, if you have to zag, I mean, like, look, if you can't get the big two names of the coaching hires, I even said, I was just like, get a big-time coordinator. Get a Will Stein. Get a Dillingham. Get somebody like that that can come in here. And look, like, I know Florida's offense, it sputtered, and we had a coach that wanted to call his own plays. But, I mean, you get a high-profile offensive coordinator that can call offense, he can hire. You give him a good enough, salary to hire a really, really good DC, a special teams guy. I mean, it doesn't take much, especially with the talent that you have at Florida. The only thing I guess you concern yourself with is, what's his recruiting acumen like? How does he recruit in the South? And, you know, and of course, NIL has changed the game anyway. So, I mean, with a lot of NIL bucks, it doesn't matter really what head coach that you have. I mean, if you can pay these kids, they're going to come to the school regardless of whether, you know, as long as they can feel that they can mesh well with the coach, you flash the money in front of them and they're just like, okay, yeah, I'll commit to Florida or I'll commit somewhere else. So, I mean, that would be probably where I would go as a high profile offensive coordinator name. Now, of course, I know Florida, they're kind of in the realm of like, okay, well, we hired Will Muschamp. We couldn't get an offense. We hired Jim McElwain because we thought he could call offense. And then now we hired Dan Mullen because we know he's an offensive guru. And then he sputters. He couldn't recruit. Okay, let's hire Billy Napier because he can recruit. But wait, he wants to call his own plays. Can't get an offense. So I think that, like, Florida is really tired of band-aiding the last problem from the head coach. And I think they just want to go for a splash big-time name that can really turn around the program.
Yeah, it's definitely going to take that type of program. Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, no. So Casey, our good buddy who'll be on later, talks about Shannon Dawson. And I think
he said it in the chat. Shannon Dawson, shout him out.
Yeah. So this is the interesting part. I really feel like with the expanded college football playoff, how patient can Penn State be? How patient can Florida be? How patient can Arkansas be with these teams that are making a run in the college football playoff? You may want Shannon Dawson, but Carson Beck, and unless Carson Beck and Mario Cristobal kind of do what they did Friday night, more than likely they're going to be in the playoffs, and they're going to be playing probably into January. So I don't know if Florida can be patient for that, you know. And again, I'm really going to be hard pressed to see anybody. I'm, you know, building a staff here and still calling the offense over here. I know that's not going to work for Miami and Florida. I love the Shannon Dawson pick. I talked about that a few weeks ago. But if Miami can keep it together, which is a big if, I don't see that happening.
Yeah, like Shannon Dawson, he's done very well over there. I mean, with Cam Ward, he worked magic. I mean, like I even said earlier this year, I said, man, if Miami had Cam Ward for another year, we'd be in trouble because they've improved that defense. That D-line is nasty. That offensive line is protecting the quarterback. I mean, they used to have it everywhere that possible that you could have it. It's just, I mean, like, look, we all know Carson Beck had his troubles last year at Georgia. Like, he wasn't that great. First year, he was great, surrounded by talent. And Carson Beck, you know, he was the Heisman favorite before they played Louisville. Lost to Louisville, threw four picks in that game, should have threw five, minus their bad roughing the passer call. But, I mean, you see he has limitations. And it looks like, I mean, Dawson has gotten the best out of him that he can over there at Miami. Does an offensive line with a bunch of five stars and big bodies help? Yes, it does. But you see where the limitations there are with Carson Beck. But I think Shannon Dawson is a really, really good OC that can get the most out of his quarterback. So I would say that might be a good option there as well. But I mean, at the end of the day, like you have to go big right now when you're Florida, or you got to go home. And if you can't get Kiffin, you can't get Freeman, you got to go for a big time hire at OC. Cause I think it's easier in this day and in age in college football. And even Nick Saban said it himself. It's more of an offensive league now. Like you got to be able to know how to call offense. So if you get a big time OC and you can get him a DC that can call defense really well, like one of your Will Muschamp types. I'm not saying he would come back or anything, but like just throw that out there as a hypothetical. I mean, you could take a team to the max, and that's the thing in this day and age in college football is it's very offensive heavy, but you still got to have some sort of a defense. And if you're not able to keep any of the teams out of the end zones, we saw it with Dan Mullen. He could score a lot of points, but he could give up a lot of points too. You look at that 2020 year, 8-4. Kyle Trask breaks the passing record at Florida. You're still 8-4. So, I mean, it is an offensive league, but you do have to have somebody on as your coordinator to be able to call defense as well.
No doubt about it. There has to be an offense. And I think specifically in Gainesville, you've seen success when offenses have just been really explosive under two coaches, Urban Meyer and Steve Spurrier, who have had offenses that could really light it up and kind of set themselves apart, right? These weren't offenses that we just said, hey, those were good offenses, right?
Yeah.
These were elite offenses. And when you talk about making a splash higher, I'm looking at, is there a possibility for SEC on SEC crime here? I see our friend Maggie Johnson has tuned in to see where it is that we're going to project Eli Drinkwitz is going to leave Como and go. But is there a chance that you go somewhere inside the SEC to grab somebody, whether it's a head coach or somebody that's on staff somewhere?
Are you talking about a coordinator or just like head coach inside?
Well,
the SEC?
We would start with head coach, but then he's going to pick his coordinators, and then you might want to rip somebody off in that spot as well.
Yeah, I mean, like, let's be honest. You see the news. It's Kiffin. They're going full blast on Kiffin right now, and from everything that I've heard behind the scenes, like it is Kiffin. But I guess if you can't go Kiffin, I mean, Drinkwitz's name has been brought out there, but I've heard that Drinkwitz probably won't be interested in the Florida job as it is anyway. A lot of these coaches, what they do is they throw their name in the hat. They have their agents reach out, and then wherever their respective schools are at, they see it. They're just like, oh, we need to pay this guy more money. So a lot of it is more of these coaches just trying to get raises. And like they have no intention of leaving, but they act like they have an intention of leaving just so the school will freak out and say, here's more money. Will you stay here? So I think those tactics are always something that happens between agents and all that other stuff too. So, but yeah, as Florida SEC experience matters. And I will say that in the league, we as Florida fans, we've had the unfortunate Jim McElwain's and Billy Napier's that have come here from like the Sun Belt or other leagues and just have not had any success. And I think that, you know, getting somebody that is an SEC proven talent. I mean, Dan Mullen, he came over here, he made a big splash. Unfortunately, he just couldn't recruit. He was a lazy recruiter. And you saw what happened with that. But like SEC experience will matter, I think, with the next head coach, or at least, you know, as you said, an elite offensive coordinator that you know can call plays. If you surround that guy with talent, you give him somebody. If DJ Lagway stays, I'm pretty sure maybe he would stay just based on how much NIL he's making from Florida. But other than that, you give them a highly rated quarterback, they can do a lot of things with that.
Yep. And we'll remind everybody, too, that the rule is such that the 30-day portal window does not open anymore at the firing, but opens right now at the hiring of a new coach. So you won't be able to expect any of these players to jump in the portal right away. So we'll hold that conversation about who may or who may not, because that's coming, Dave. That's going to be the next chapter of the story about who can retain the talent that is existing on the roster. Because if anything, we believe Florida has a really talented roster. It's just been a trouble kind of putting things together. You mentioned Dan Mullen. I've been on the record multiple times saying that I thought it was a mistake to fire Dan Mullen to move up 3 recruiting ranking spots on average and drop the wins. I see Queen over here in our chat box agrees with me. Here's my question, a big picture question before we get you out of here. And this is a Florida question, but it's really an overall question. And Craig and I are going to come back after this next break and talk about this a little more, but I want to get your thoughts. How beneficial is it in college football and the SEC specifically to have a quick trigger? Or is it better to let coaches have a little bit of a longer ramp to get things going? The reason I ask the question is it seems when we give coaches 2 to 3 year windows and they don't work out, the next coach then has to dig out of a deeper hole than the last coach was in. And if you're not careful, you kind of find yourself, you know, 3 generations deep into a hole and not knowing really how it is that you can climb out. And to your point, it might be Lane Kiffin or Marcus Freeman that are the only options that can get you out of there.
Yeah,
what are your thoughts overall on that dynamic?
Yeah, it's all about timing. I mean, you can fire your coach if things aren't going well, but if the coaching hot board out there doesn't look great and the coaching talent that's out there doesn't look great at the time, I mean, do you just keep the coach for another year? We saw Florida do it last year. I mean, Billy Napier had that big turnaround, 8-5, and they said, okay, well, you got Lagway. They saw what Lagway could do in that year one, and they said, okay, well, you know, we'll see what Billy Napier can do with the influx of talent. We'll pay these kids more NIL to stay. We'll return all the starters or offensive D-line. Of course, it didn't work, but at least they gave it a shot, right? They let Billy stay another year instead of just automatically just firing him mid-year. A lot of Florida fans were upset about it. But then once they saw the turnaround, they were just like, okay, maybe we do have something here. So it is a possibility that, like, if you keep a coach one more year, he could possibly turn it around. Sometimes it works. And then sometimes in our case, as you've seen, it doesn't work. But I think the time, there's just so many different things that you would have to think about timing wise. Okay, well, what's going to happen if we do fire him? How much is the buyout? How much are we going to have to pay the next head coach? Do we have the money? On top of that, is it like, it's like Florida State, you know, they just fired Norvell today, right? But they were in such a deficit when they extended him that they had to keep him for 2 or 3 more years and see if he could turn it around. And granted, he had, I mean, look, you look at week one, right? He beats Alabama, knocks him off. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, well, Florida State, they're looking like a real team. And then they just rattle off 4 losses in a row. Now, what if Florida State won those games, right? And Norvell's still sitting there and he's not fired and you're not having to worry about anything either. So, I mean, it's just a risk you take, man. And it's all about timing. And if you can, I guess if you can time it right, yes, it's beneficial. But I mean, as far as we all know, none of us can really predict the future, right? So, and then you got to worry about who's on your roster. Are they going to leave? Now, I know they had that new rule that, like, there's, you know, you got to wait till the new head coach is hired, and then there's a 5-day period. But those kids could still leave. I mean, that portal's still going to open, and they could still leave. So there's just a lot of risks, and it's, you know, maintaining a roster, and are you going to have to pay those players more to stay instead of hitting the portal if you do fire a coach and you bring in a new one? There's just so many different scenarios you have to think about when you make that decision. And I think that, you know, obviously for a team like us, we gave that choice to Billy Napier he promised he was going to hire an OC, never did. So I think that's what really made a lot of these boosters mad and just wanted to get rid of him midseason. But, you know, it's just, it's crazy. The timing of everything is wild. I mean, you've seen teams fire their coach and they bring in the next one and they're the next elite team. You saw that with Georgia and Mark Richt. They got tired of winning 8-9, losing the SEC, never getting the national championship. They finally got rid of Richt, but they kept him a long time and dealt with it for a long time. hired in Kirby Smart, and look at them now. They won two national championships. They're always in the playoff, it seems, every year. So sometimes it does benefit a team, and sometimes, you know, it doesn't.
And just so there you have it. High top.
Jay Norvell at Colorado State that got fired. Not Mike Norvell at Florida State. I thought you were breaking something here, David. I looked. I was like, oh no, did Florida State, do both Florida schools kicking out their coaches?
I have zero inside info on Florida State. I just assume.
I had to look when you said that. I was like, wait, did Norvell?
Hey, we're already getting numbers. We're already getting numbers released on what it's going to cost to pay out that staff.
Yeah, it's like 55, the whole staff,
and then 50. Go hire another. You're upwards of $100 million.
Brother, can you spare a dime? That's all I got to say. Brother, can you spare a dime?
Well, I will say, like, just from what I've read on social media, I've been looking at the articles, it looks like they might be serious about getting rid of him. But, like, yeah, I have zero inside info of Florida State. If I did, I mean, like, look, if I did, I probably wouldn't break that info anyway, but I have zero info.
He may have zero inside info on Florida State, but lots of inside info with the Gators, and gives us some names to look at. But overall, great conversation. And really what it comes down to, like you said, is timing. Dave, thanks for being with us. High Top Dave. David Soderquist here with us from High Top Sports. Thanks so much. As always, we'll check in on Gainesville here in just a few weeks as the coaching search starts to heat up. This is SEC Sunday Night live on the Chief Sports Network. We'll be right back after this.
When playing sports, you want a coach that will fight for you. At Hewitt Diamandouros Law Firm, we've got your back. Whether it's personal injury, insurance disputes, negligence, or wrongful death, our team delivers exceptional legal services that makes meaningful difference in the lives of the individuals and families we work for. Visit hdlawsc.com. hdlawsc.com. Hewitt Diamandouros, we're on your team.
Oh man, the building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. Resto Pros MidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
At TriFit Physical Therapy and Performance, we believe true health and peak performance start with personalized care. Whether you're an athlete recovering from injury or just chasing your next personal best, we're here to guide your journey. With expert coaching, hands-on therapy, and transparent cash-based pricing, you get the care you need without the insurance red tape. One client drove 100 miles just to see us and said it was worth every mile. Contact us at trifitperformance.com or 803-353-5619. TriFit Physical Therapy and Performance, where recovery meets results.
Yo, what's up? Baby, let's go!
There'll be days like this, when there's no one complaining. There'll be days like this, when everything falls into place, like the flick of a switch. Oh, my mama told me, there'll be days like this, when you don't need to worry. There'll be days like this, when no one's in a hurry. There'll be days.
Back to SEC Sunday Night live on the Chief Sports Network. Rob Williams, Craig McMichael here with you. That was High Top Dave breaking down the Billy Napier firing and who's on the board there at Florida. Of course, Lane Kiffin's name is hot. Craig, you and I have been on the record saying we don't think he should or will be moving on from Oxford. They got Marcus Freeman up there at the top of that board as well. Craig threw in a nice pick in Kenny Dillingham as a hot take. And you know what? To your point, Craig, we have not heard that name. And usually it's not a name that we hear early, but a name that comes along developing. We'll be on watch for that. But you've been saying drink for years. Dave comes in and lets us know like he's not hearing that name. So interesting. from my standpoint, yeah, I trust him, but it's just interesting if we've heard that Drink has bowed out. It seems like something he'd be interested in to me, but I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe you got a call from Happy Valley.
I think Brett Sarver gave him a call and said, Drink, you got to stay. Offered him some pizza. We'll see what happens. I don't know. Can either confirm or deny any of that. You know, shout out to Maggie Johnson. I was trying to confirm this.
But I was too. We're both researching during the break.
Yeah. Maggie, don't hate. Maggie asked a question. Rob, you can put it up on the screen. Isn't it true that if a SEC coach takes a job, they can't follow right away? It seems like that is the case. I know that was always the case in the spring where you couldn't transfer intra-conference. But it seems like that. I could not find multiple sources to confirm. So thank you, Maggie. I appreciate
Maggie. Maggie also lets us know what a big fan she is. Just want to make sure that we're clear on that one. Big yep. fan, showing us all big the fan. Love in the chat. We love you, Maggie. Appreciate you for being there and always being here for us, checking us. Stats and Info, aka Maggie Johnson, making sure that we got it right. Okay. So before we get back into this hot seat stuff, because we got some hot seat thoughts, I'm going to let you have your moment to bask in the sun. Here is not a pretty graphic, not something dressed up, not something that shows everything off, just straight up off the text line, a screenshot of the text thread between Craig and I, our picks for the weekend. Now,
9-1 this weekend. Before,
I've said, yeah, the only one you missed is not even a game, right?
Yeah, it's Hugh Freeze not getting fired. That's the only thing I missed all weekend. Other than that, 8-0 in games, Billy was fired.
Shout out to you, my friend. Shout out to you.
I will go 0-8 this week. Don't worry.
Don't worry, though. What's right below this text thread is Craig telling me that he did well last week as well, and so he didn't expect this week to go well. So he's on a heater, ladies and gents, 2 weeks in a row. Maybe we should listen to Craig for our gambling picks next week. We'll warm him up. Yeah. I, on the other hand, did not have a good week.
Your buddy Joy. Yeah. How was Vandy for LSU? I know it wasn't Big Bad Tennessee or these big arenas or environments, as she said. How'd that go?
Yeah. So, as always, Joy and I have some fun on Fridays, and we get to come in here and discover how it has gone. And it makes a fun experience for those that are listening and watching, and people in the chat box who are keeping up. They can see where our heads are at. Again, we're just human beings here. We're here to have some fun and talk ball just like you guys are. And we're not always right. Yeah, missed that one. Joy had a beautiful rant on Vandy fans. And I got a text a minute ago. I'm not sure. I haven't read everything that she sent me. But I think she's eating a crow right now. So I'll check in and see maybe later. Actually, I think, you know, whatever. We'll see what she has to say later on. We missed a few picks. Okay. I missed some picks. Joy missed some picks.
We missed a few. I didn't miss any damn picks.
I'm referring to Joy. You were undefeated and you missed nothing. Nothing during the course of the week. All right. Let's run down just for kicks and giggles so everybody's caught up. Take 30 seconds here to run through. Vanderbilt 31-24 at home over LSU. Oklahoma gets it done 26-7. Absolutely putrid offense from the Gamecocks in Columbia against the Sooners. Ole Miss in Georgia. Craig, I stepped away to the neighborhood playground for like 5 minutes. Ole Miss was up 9. I come back and they're down. Georgia wins the game 43-35. A lot of points. Florida squeaks one out 23-21 over Mississippi State and still fires Billy Napier. Texas A&M barely gets it done over the Hogs. We have said multiple times, Arkansas, they got some talent with Taylen Green, and I really think that Petrino is gunning for somebody. I mean, he's really trying to show it off that he can do something with this offense. 42 points says something against that Texas A&M defense, number 4 team in the nation, undefeated at the time. Now they're undefeated, and number 3 are the Aggies. Texas, the Longhorns, coming off a big Red River win, goes up to the Bluegrass and squeaks one out 16-13 over Kentucky. Almost a letdown, but no. And then Tennessee goes to Alabama and falls 37-20. the Tide looked like the best team in the SEC. To me, 37 points holds Tennessee to 20. Another masterclass from Ty Simpson, looking like they can move the ball anywhere. Look out for them at 3:30 next weekend in Columbia, South Carolina. And speaking of Columbia's, the Missouri Tigers finally got out of theirs and made it to the Plains, where they squeaked one out in double overtime over the Auburn Tigers, 23-17. And that puts Hugh Freeze's seat absolutely on fire. That's your rundown of scores in the SEC. Craig?
Yeah. I think it's 4. Hugh Freeze for 0-4 in the SEC for the third year in a row.
So we're going back to the hot seat, and let's start there.
Yep.
How long can he have? How long can he have, Craig? I mean,
knowing John Cohen's history, Hugh Freeze will probably get fired on Thursday. By the time he gets around to it, he's got to send his letter crying to the SEC officials. He'll probably fire Hugh Freeze sometime on Thursday. No, I think Hugh's done at the end of the year. That is going to be John Summerall's new job.
Interesting. John Summerall's new job is a great setup for me, as you know, because I would say that the consensus, I think, amongst Kentucky fans, many of whom we've talked to, some in the media, some just fans, have said that John Summerall is coming home to the Bluegrass whenever they finally get together to get rid of Mark Stoops. Kentucky's having a putrid year. I mean, of all these things that we've talked about, all the teams that we see at the bottom of the barrel, as bad as South Carolina's offense has been, they handled Kentucky fairly easily, scored a couple of defensive touchdowns. We've seen Mississippi State not be able to get it done, but look like they're right there, kind of knocking at the door of some of these just frankly more talented teams. Arkansas has already fired Sam Pittman, but you see them being competitive there with the number 3 team in the nation, only a 3-point loss. But Kentucky, they did take Texas.
They almost knocked off the Horns. They're fine. They're fine.
It's time to get rid of Mark Stoops. He's in this conversation. This is a conversation.
Do they have Penn State $40 million money? Because yep. I'm pretty sure.
I think they do.
No.
I think they do. I'm just going to tell you. I absolutely think
that money is allocated to the basketball program. They're not spending $40 million to get rid of the football coach. They are no. Mark Stoops will be there at least 2 more years.
I'm just going to have to bet you. We'll go to cut or wherever you want to go. I'm going to to bet you he does not make it 2 more years. That I don't think he makes it through the past this year. I think he may make it to the end of the season.
Let's do part one. Part one of the bet. Part one of the bet. He makes it through this year. Part two of the bet. He will finish next year as well.
That's fine for me. Whatever you want to bet, you text me and we'll set it up. We'll let everybody know next week what's actually on the line. I think he's done at the end of the year. So then we have let's list them all for everybody, right? We have Sam Pittman's already gone. Now Billy Napier is gone. Let's just go SEC. We've both projected that Hugh Freeze is not going to make it to the end of the year, and or make it to next year. Maybe he makes it through the Iron Bowl and then it's toast after that. We'll see. Gets real testy down there. I'm going to say Lexington is getting hot as well for Mark Stoops. So we're up to 4.
Yep.
Just inside the SEC. All right, now let's look outside.
Yeah, I got 2
for
more
moment.
For you. No, I've got 2 more in the SEC for you.
Okay, go ahead.
You ready? Brian Kelly's going to find his way out. He will be the new head coach at UCLA.
That's a scorching take. Have you talked to Tony?
That's a score. Maybe Tony sponsors that move.
Somebody call Tony. I'm calling Tony.
I think BK realizes he is not going to be able to get it done, and I think there's some sort of negotiated settlement, and he goes out to the West Coast, and I can only imagine what that accent is going to be like. Ready for the other hot seat?
I'm ready to shut it down.
Sorry, buddy.
Go ahead and give it to me.
Beamer, when they miss the playoff, they go from 9-3 to 5-7. And it's the roller coaster.
I think 5-7 is incoming. I think in no way, shape, or form are they moving on. I think if you look historically at the tenure of Shane Beamer, And the history of football coaches at South Carolina, he's towards the top, if not the top, in many categories in the first 5 years. I do hear some fans who really don't have much of a leg to stand on that are clamoring to move on somewhere, but I don't really have time to give that any more oxygen than I already have. And I think that there's a lot of faith in what Shane Beamer can do. Do there need to be some changes happening? Potentially. And I think that if our chat box is still alive with club chief members over there, as I can see a lot of green lighting up Queen's back. I agree with you, Queen. I think that 5-7 is potentially the realistic ending here.
But is that acceptable?
But I don't think it's at the level that, in any way, shape, or form, my opinion nor anything that I have heard behind the scene, is there any indication that anything's happening with Shane Beamer. My fear that I have nothing to stand on, this is no intel, no insight, anything, is that to your point, there could be a stacking of bad years, because Lenore Sellers, for what it's worth, just this week on Inside the Gamecocks, JB and I broke down some of the latest in draft projections, where Mel Kiper still has him as the fourth quarterback, which is 21st overall player. Jordan Reed of ESPN had him going 9th overall to the Raiders. The way the Raiders look today, who knows? Like, they might be picking higher than 9th. We'll see. But there are still first-round projections and top half of the first-round projections by some for Lenore Sellers. So I think that you're going to see the end of the Sellers era in Columbia. And then the question will be, is it a portal move, or is it one of the young guys that's coming in behind him? And we have to see what's going to happen with this team. I agree. I think Sellers is SC Lawman over there, who says that Sellers is gone after the season. Yeah. So what happens with the Gamecocks next year in an SEC where Shane Beamer advocates for competition, as he should, and everybody else does as well, where there's no world where you get out of competition week in and week out, where you're not playing highly touted football teams, as we've seen in the past couple of weeks? 10 out of the top 25 teams are SEC teams. How can you get around it? So there's going to be a high level of competition if you don't have – I think there's talent on that South Carolina football team, but if there's not a cohesion of it to go out and turn it into some victories next year, then we'll be having a conversation where we're getting a little bit warmer. Okay. Let me ask this question, and I'm going to bring Casey in too. Let me ask you this question, and I'm going to bring Casey in here too, because I want to get him in on kind of this pretenders and contenders before we get into the boards, because we have some good boards this week. You and I talked off the air, and I think it's important for us to have this conversation here. We just named four really realistic openings, some of which are already open in the SEC. You have a couple more that you added in there with LSU and South Carolina. We look outside of the SEC, and you got big names like Penn State potentially going to have the Florida State job. Who knows what's happening in Chapel Hill? You continue. UCLA is open. We know what's happening in Chapel Hill. I mean, from a position standpoint, Fickell is all but done. Right? Like, Wisconsin is open. It's going to open. Do we have an official note on that?
I got reports from 247 tonight that Wisconsin is trying to weather the storm and wants to go one more year with Luke Fickell. I don't think Wisconsin has that money to buy him out.
So, but regardless, we're collecting a large number of openings, many of which are at quote unquote higher profile schools. There are not that many coaches to go around. Who are we hiring, Craig? Who are we hiring to fill these slots? And it goes back to the conversation that I had with Dave a minute ago. When you fire a coach, you have to be prepared and know that you can go get your guy to level up. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself 2 or 3 years down the road in a deeper hole with the same or worse record, i.e. what's happening in Gainesville right now.
When you are athletic directing, and I speak from this, you always have a Rolodex ready. You have to have that list. And more often than not, it's in your head of who you think. I've got one more name for you for Florida. You know, I gave you Kenny Dillingham. What if you go within the SEC to get somebody, and you go to Knoxville and you get Josh Heupel? He's beaten Alabama. He's gone to college football playoff. What I'm trying to think here, I think we have a lot of names we throw out there that are sexy. Kiffin, whoever it may be. But I think you have to go outside the box. You have to think of it. Because, again, I look at Brian Kelly going from Notre Dame to LSU. I look at Lincoln Riley going from Oklahoma to USC. This is going to be the new norm. And I don't see as many people waiting. And again, I think, you know, we highlighted it with David. The impact of an expanded college football playoff hurts the coaching carousel, because you're going to say, well, James Franklin's pretty good. Also, James Franklin can start for me today. They look at what Georgia Southern did. And now I know most of you people are like, why are you talking about Georgia Southern? When Georgia Southern hired, oh, I just missed his name. The guy from, no, that's Georgia State.
I was on the Twitter.
Yep,
Clay Helton.
Yep. Clay Helton. So when Clay Helton got hired from USC, Georgia Southern picked him up about a month later, brought him in as that next coach. He was able to start building that in there. Yep. One of these teams that we're talking about is going to bring in James Franklin.
No doubt.
Maybe it's the Gators. Maybe not. But here's the thing. James Franklin has won in the SEC. Hey, he took a program like Vanderbilt, made them into a top 25 team. He consistently won 9 or 10 games at Penn State. Yes, he never won a national championship. He never won the big game, but he was consistently in that top upper tier conversation. Someone's going to say, hey, there's a safe hire that I can get, and I don't have to wait till the middle of December or the end of January to bring that person in.
I got one for you, and I'm about to bring Casey in here, Casey, because I want to get you in on this. We're going to transition to this conversation about contenders and pretenders, but you just made a fantastic point that I think transitions us in here beautifully, right? Not only is this school a potential candidate for contenders and pretenders, this is a school where we've seen a coach punch up and have success. What about this Vanderbilt staff? What about Clark Lee? Does he start to get some love and be a name on some of these boards somewhere to get a bigger job after what we've seen him do? It happened with James Franklin to get the Penn State job. Maybe something happens.
Let me put on my athletic director hat. Can I respond to that with my athletic director hat on?
And then, yeah, you can. And go ahead and move us over to answering the question, is Vanderbilt for real?
Okay, so for Clark Lee, I need to know what happens post-Diego Pavia. Oh, my gosh, it's so fantastic. It's exciting what he's done with Tim Beck and what he's done with Diego Pavia the last 2 years. If I'm an athletic director and I'm at Florida or I'm at one of these places, I need to see a proof of concept. Because right now, it sounds really good. It looks good. You may win the press conference, but are you winning 2 or 3 years after that? I am buying Vanderbilt as a contender, possibly 10 through 12 seed in the college football playoff.
Yeah, so you have College Game Day headed up to Nashville, Casey, on Saturday. You got Vanderbilt and Missouri. If I'm coming to you right now and I'm saying, Casey, you got to bet the house on Vanderbilt or Missouri to make the college football playoff, can you tell me which one you're taking?
Oh, he's back.
I got him. We're all good.
Kind of.
Hey, what's up, Casey? What's up, Casey? So, Vandy, Missouri.
Sorry about that. Your question was really good.
Well, I wrote it down.
Let's go find the nut.
They both deserve it.
I wrote it down like you did, so it was. I made sure it was ready.
Yeah, I think they're both contenders, and I apologize for my internet, but it's not good here at Mom's basement tonight.
Well, we're glad that we could try to break you out of there once a week.
How's the meatloaf?
Delicious.
He's going to have to yell for it in just a minute. Well, just make sure you mute your mic before you scream for it. Hey, listen, yeah. For me, I think this is a great matchup, first of all, and it's going to be a really fun week next week as we look at that Tigers and Commodores showdown. Shout out to Maggie one more time. But yeah, I don't know. I love Diego Pavia's moxie and his ability to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I also love Ahmad Hardy and what Drinkwitz does in calling this game. It's the same offense in a lot of ways, not specifically in terms of schematics, but in their overall their big picture desire is to slow things down, play a control game, get you kind of stuck, and then you turn around in the fourth quarter and it's a one score game, or they're up on you by 10 or 14. And so I'll be interested to see how the two teams kind of stand up against this. I think that Pavia can have some success against Missouri secondary. They've really made a point to try to throw the ball downfield a little more with Vanderbilt this year, and there is a weakness there, I think, for the Tigers if we can find one. But I'm just interested to see, you know, Joy made a great point, in all honesty, that it's not an intimidating environment in Nashville. So can Missouri go in and take advantage of that and just kind of run their offense, ground and pound a little bit, and get things done? I'm interested to see. Those two teams are the top two contender pretenders for me. Craig, do you have others that are kind of on your docket? Maybe Tennessee in that discussion?
I think Tennessee is pretender. They needed to win Georgia or Tennessee, I think, to find their way into the playoff. I think they're going to find at least one more loss. I look at that Vanderbilt game, if not one or two more losses. So I think they're on their outside looking in. I'm going to put Georgia and Ole Miss both as contenders. But I'm not saying that they're going for the SEC championship. To me, I think both of them are probably going to be in those 7 to 9 slots. So one, I think, will get a playoff game. One will be on the road. And then so Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Texas A&M is a contender. And here's the thing.
Glad you said it.
You have no idea what you're going to get from Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Are you going to get the lockdown defense with an awesome rushing attack? Or are you going to get a Big 12 45-43 game? I have no idea. I have no faith in Texas A&M whatsoever, as we've said time and again on this show. But, like, they're all lumped in. But here's the thing, and I know this is an old record, and I'm not trying to do any preseason predictions here, but everybody's chasing Alabama right now.
Yeah, I agree. And I said it earlier this week on X. I think that we've had all this parody talk, and you and I have talked about it a lot. And we've come on the show, and we talked about it with Casey, and we've said week after week, we don't know. We don't know what's going on. We don't know who's good. We can't tell what's happening. Who is it that's going to take the lead spot in this SEC race? And here we are, and it's Alabama and it's Georgia. And those are the two schools. And, you know, we got Texas A&M as an undefeated team at number 3 in the country, and that's more of the wild card. And you can believe in them if you want to, but we have too much football left for me to just pencil them into Atlanta, even though they're the highest ranked SEC team and they're undefeated at this point. There's a couple of spots where I think they can trip, and we'll see what happens with the Aggies before we get there. But we are getting more and more towards convincing me that maybe College Station is going to be hopping, and it's going to be more than just those yell leaders doing some dancing when they make their way to the college football playoff. All right, Casey, are you ready for everybody's favorite segment? Craig has really teed them up tonight.
We'll see if my internet holds, hopefully. So,
all right, guys.
Mr. Roboto.
I'm just going to sit back and hit the buttons here. Let's start outside the league. Let's start outside the league. We've had a theme of teams wanting to switch conferences. A reverse conference alignment, if you will. We'll begin there.
Yeah, it's been really, really hot. As everybody's not good enough, you know, teams can just hop right from conference to conference. So our friend Go Blue John says, does Michigan leave the Big Ten? I would have said never 3 years. It's more likely not the PE shenanigans. Personally, I feel the ACC could be a great move. He becomes a full-time member. So my question is, and I think for our show, from ACC Network, she said, is that you just automatically the money in this.
One more time.
Damn. Did you get that question, Craig? Did you get that question? I heard something about the MBG show. Shout out to the MBG pod. If you're not following, make sure you go and follow. I'm just buying him some time at this point. Is there money in it? We don't know. Is there a laugh in this? Absolutely. Everybody's favorite segment. It just means more.
Yep.
Genius. Yep. Let's get into
hang on. Shall we? No, hang on. I've got one thing on this private equity thing.
And oh, is that what that was about? Sorry, I missed it.
Yes, because that is the question, because that was the P. It's not physical education like you thought it was, Rob. But so the private equity deal, you're seeing Michigan, Ohio State, USC, and I believe those are the biggest ones against private equity. And basically what that's private equity is, it's going to be a big cash, basically a bunch of cash is going to come into the league. If you're Purdue, you love this. If you're Minnesota, you love this. Because what it does is not only gives you dollars, but also basically locks in a guarantee of rights, basically keeping those bottom half of the Big Ten in the Big Ten until like 2046. And if you're Michigan and you're USC, you're like, I don't need you. I don't even think about you, even when I'm playing you that week. So it's been interesting to really kind of see that, because what I think we're starting to see is that Big Ten starting to fracture a little bit between the haves and the have-nots.
I agree completely, actually, that there is a fracturing between the haves and the have-nots. And we can look at just the schedule. Our guy, Stu Mandel, kind of points it out for what the schedule is going to look like next week as we kind of do our regular look ahead. Let me just give you the comparison between the SEC and the Big Ten. ABC and ESPN have these games: Ole Miss and Oklahoma, Alabama, South Carolina, Texas A&M, LSU, and Missouri and Vandy, which is a top 20 game and where College Game Day is headed, as opposed to Fox, CBS, NBC with UCLA, Indiana, Minnesota, Iowa, and Michigan State. To your point, some haves and some have-nots. You got your glasses adjusted? As Casey pops in and out, I'm going to give you the next one to go ahead and read for us here on the Bengal Tiger.
All right, from the Bengal Tiger, from LSU fan, 1983. Great year, Rob. You weren't around, but I can tell you it was awesome. Tulane is the best team in Louisiana. Obviously. John Summerall in Tulane. This may be the best thing for Summerall, is the fact that he may end up being the that P5 or G6, I'm sorry, G6 representative this year in the playoff. So he may actually wind up in the best spot, because then he could be a little choosy, because who's going to really want Summerall versus, you know, who can be patient, kind of like what we talked about.
Is Summerall fly like a G6? That's the tweet. All right, a couple more and we're going to get out of here. Sorry, that's the Michigan one again. Here we go. Auburn. Auburn's here. Look at that.
Is it time for Auburn to hire Dion from Auburn Undercover? From GF Templeton, our program is lost. We need a savior. Is Dion
I just have to point
Auburn?
Out. I have to point out, look at the down arrows. Mr. Roboto has returned. Casey, can't you hear us, Casey? Somebody type him a message. Does he have a mic? It's beautiful. Your title is very fitting. It just sounds wonderful.
It's fine. It's well. Yeah, good.
Hey. It is till it isn't. Is Dion the answer in the planes?
I mean, I can hear you. You can't hear me.
We can sort of hear you.
We can sort of hear you. It's okay.
Hey, listen. Listen, I don't think Dion is the answer on the planes. And my question would continue to be, we don't know who is.
I do, actually. Maggie, turn off the chat. I think Drink. I'm gonna pivot from Gainesville. And I actually think
Dillingham to Gainesville and Drink to the Plains.
I am, because you think about who Drink is, right? Auburn is the little brother of Alabama. They're always going to be in the size shadow. Who likes to get stuffed in the locker only to say, not so fast, my friend, and come back and stuff somebody else in the locker? It's been Drink. He continues to punch up, winning 9 and 10 games at Missouri. That is a very hard job to do. If Auburn can get themselves together, and this is a common theme with both Auburn and Florida, take a page out of Texas's book. Texas was a disaster before Christoph Konte came and Sark came. Sure, they're having trouble with the offensive line this year, but Texas is having more success in the last 3 years than in many years previous. If Auburn can gain alignment, which I don't know if that's going to happen with their athletic director, Mr. Cohen, or if Mr. Strickland can work the magic that he has done with basketball and find that alignment, both of those two schools will be right back there. But I think Drink is probably the right choice, not Deion.
Yeah, I'm not sure that it's Deion either. All right, we got one more. We'll get it in and out quick. You told Maggie to turn off the chat. I'm going to tell all my Gamecock friends to turn off the chat for this one. Craig's specialty pick for us. As we previously stated, some fans may be a little upset with the product on the field. I'll let you have it, Craig.
All right, so I think this sums up the South Carolina angst right now against the Gamecocks this season. From the Big Spur, GoCocks 31 says, Beamer took us from sandstorm to shitstorm. And to me, like, I don't care if this is true or not. It's just funny. Like, to me, it's like role play, right? You get a little laugh.
Here's what I'll say. Great wordplay. And this highlights the whole purpose of it. Just means more genius. Every week we have premier guests here on SEC Sunday Night. We are live on the Chief Sports Network. You should be downloading the Chief Sports app right now. We have tons of people watching. You should be subscribing to College Football Forever on YouTube, to the Chief Sports South Carolina page on YouTube. We have two different channels so that you can get your Gamecock stuff and so you can get your national and SEC stuff. And we are very present across all social media platforms. You should be coming here every week so that you can hear about what's happening on the Chief Sports Network and get your fill of college football, college sports talk all day on the Chief Sports Network. But here on SEC Sunday Night, we finish every week with It Just Means More Genius, because MBG does a great job of putting together boards from around the country, and we love to specifically look at those SEC fans who are passionately posting on the message boards. And as sometimes they may be uninformed and passionate in the wrong directions, passionate they are nonetheless. And we are proud to be SEC fans, because SEC fans are better than every other fan in the nation. Let's just say it as bluntly and as plainly as we can. It is that passion that drives stadiums to be full. And as I sat on George Rogers Boulevard yesterday, sandstorming with one daughter and the other one asleep in the back seat, leaving the state fair and unable to enter the stadium, I sat in traffic and I looked up, and even though the Gamecocks were walking into a tall test against Oklahoma that they ultimately failed very badly, the rally towels were in the air. Sandstorm was rocking. You could see the stadium shaking. It was a full and raucous atmosphere, as it always is on an SEC Saturday in any of these great cities, even perhaps one day in Nashville. We'll see you next week, and we'll be talking about lots of incredible matchups, including game day in Nashville for the Doors and the Mizzou Tigers. I'm Rob Williams. He's Craig McMichael. This is SEC Sunday Night live on the Chief Sports Network. We'll see you next time.